Hilchos Machal Yakum discusses various foods. The first part of it at least discusses various foods that are aser, foods of a goy that are aser. These are all discussed in the Mishnah, Sechas Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. So as a general hakdama to Hilchos Machal Yakum, we'll just have a look quickly through this Mishnah, and then we'll start in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah says, enumerates a number of things, foods from a goy, that are only Yisuri Achila, but not Yisuri Hana. The first one that it mentions is Cholav Shechol Be'evit Kechav M'Cholav Akum. The Ein Yisrael Re'eyu, if a Yid doesn't see, so there's a concern that the Goy is going to mix in milk from a non-kosher species. A pas, bread that a Goy bakes, even though there's no non-kosher ingredients in the bread. Just the etzem that the Goy baked the bread, so there's an Isur of Pas Akum. A Shemen Shalahem, oil from a goy. Rebbe Yubeis Dinei Hetirei HaShemen. The Beis Din of Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya, this Rebbe doesn't mean Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, who was Mechaber the Mishnah, this is Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya, the Amoira. His Beis Din, the Gemara records, was Matir Shemen. The truth of the matter is that the Gemara discusses that really the rule is that when one Beis Din makes a gzeira, so you can't have a later Beis Din come with mevatel gzeira, unless the later Beis Din is gadol mimenu b'chachma b'minyan, is greater than the earlier Beis Din. Now, certainly, the Beis Din of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was not as great as the Beis Din of Shammai and Hillel, who made the gzeira on Shemen. So why were they able to come and be mevatel it? So the explanation is that this rule only applies to when a gzeira is firmly established. When it's made and becomes firmly established. If, however, at the beginning of the gzeira, it's too difficult for people to accept, it's a gzeira she'ein reva tzibur chaylam lamed, and it's not mispashen, it's not accepted everywhere, throughout the majority of communities of the Yidden, so then it is possible for a later basin to come in mevatel. So this was the case with Shemen Akum, that it was not nispashit throughout all of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara actually says it was the same thing when it came to Pasakim as well, that it was also very difficult and was not nispashit everywhere. But the Beis of Yehuda Nasiya was not willing to be matir pas, because they didn't want to be known as the Beis that's matir everything. So they were only matir the Shemin. So this actually, he was an Amoira. So this... how it fits into the Mishnah here is somewhat questionable. It must have been put in later. But anyway, the statement is accurate, that the Beis Din Yehuda Nasiya was later Matir Shemen Akum. Bashlokos, this refers to Bishal Akum, foods that are cooked, non-breads that are cooked by a goy. So they have a separate type of Isser, a different category of Isser. This category of Pasakum is a category of Bishal Akum. They each have their own sets of rules, and which we're going to learn in Shulchan Aruch. They have their own sets of rules, and they were also, Tosfos points out, they were also instituted at different times. So they're instituted at different times, they have their own sets of rules. Different pickled foods that it's the derech to put in wine or vinegar, there's a chashash of mixing in of yayin nesach. The Gemara discusses if there's a real concern of yayin nesach there, then it should be in the other Mishnah, which discusses things that are aser b'hana as well. Here we're only discussing things that are aser b'achila. Why is this only aser b'achila? The tris trufa. Tris is a type of a fish. And if it's ground up, so then it could be mixed with, there could be other fish that are swim together with it, that it could be mixed in together with this fish. You won't be able to tell if it's this kosher fish or the other fish that resembles it. Once it's crushed up, you won't be able to tell. So therefore, it's a problem. V'tzir she'ein ba daga kilbis she'tetes boi. Fish juice, which does, the kilbis fish is not floating around in it. Because if it has this kilbis fish floating around in it, it's a simin that this tzir is coming from a kosher fish. And the lack of this kilbis fish floating around in its tzir would indicate that there's a possibility that this tzir is not coming from a kosher fish. How exactly the kilbas fish is a raya that the tzir is coming from a kosher fish is different ways that the Rishonim explain it, but al kopanim, this kilbas fish floating around in the tzir is a proof that the tzir is from a kosher fish. V'achilik, chilik is a fish that does not have the simonic kashrus yet. It didn't develop it yet, it will develop it later. But it's still kosher even before it develops it, because we know that it will develop it later. The thing is that it swims together with other fish, and therefore when you catch it, you can have both types of fish, the kosher fish, the not kosher fish. And because this you don't see the simonim, you can get mixed up. Now this is a problem even when it's whole. By contrast, the tris was only a problem when it was crushed up, because those you see, if it would be whole, you'd see the simonim. So you'll see this has the simonim, so you know it's the kosher one. This doesn't have, you know, it's a trefa moshe ein kein. This the chilik is a problem even when it's whole. The keret shel chiltis, a kernel of chiltis. It's a type of a very, very sharp herb. So if this was cut by a goy with a goyish knife, so it becomes treif. The chiddush here is that even though it was cut when it was cold, it still receives a blia. And even if the knife was an ene ben yoimoy, it could still be machalile l'shvach, it could still freshen up the taste. And the treif, a taste from the knife, could go into the chiltis and make a treif. Umelach shal kundis, Rashi says, the Gemara will explain what that is. Hare elo asurin, the ein isuran is isur hano. These are all examples of things that are asur. There's an isur b'achila, but there's no isur hano. Zakte Shulchan Aruch. The Chachamim asered. Asur Chachamim lechal pashal amomin ebdei kechavim mishum chasnus. Chachamim asered pas akum mishum chasnus. So the Mechaber is telling us the reason of the gzeira, that the reason of the gzeira is because of chasnus, to limit social interaction, which can ultimately lead to intermarriage. Some of the poskim are ma'orer that if you look in the Gemara, it comes out a little bit different, because when the Gemara explains the gzeira, so the Gemara says that they asered pasaka because of shemen, and shemen because of yayin, and yayin because of b'nai sehen. The Gemara has a whole long discussion what it means that the chachamim asered b'nai sehen. To marry a goyish girl is chasimbam. It's an iser Torah. But the Gemara has a whole long thing. It talks about it means it's yichud of a pnuya and everything. So that's, but the yayin is mishum b'nai sehen. U'b'nai sehen. Not to be misyached with a goya. Why were the goyas here that? Mishum davar acher, because of avodah zarah. It shouldn't lead to avodah zarah. So it comes out that the whole thing, pasakum, shemenakum, right, and yayin, is all because of avodah zarah, because it could lead to avodah zarah. So what are we saying over here? That it's mishum chasnus. It doesn't say that. It says it's mishum ultimately because of. So there are various ways to go about answering this. One can suggest that the intention over here is like this, that they assert it was chasnus. It was mishum b'nei sehem. Okay? Now, why did they aser? What does it mean in the Gemara when Gemara says that the whole thing was because of avodah zarah? So it could be that the intention is that why were they goyzer mishum chasnus? In other words, normally they wouldn't aser pasakum for chasnus. Not such a, in other words, if it wouldn't be such a strong avera, so why would they aser pas akum because of chasnas?
But because hasnus is connected to, will lead to aveda zara, so mamela, that's why. But the formulation of the takana, of the gzeira, was mishum chasnas. That will also explain some poskim ha'ma'ir, the following idea, that if, like the Gemara says, the concern was that it could ultimately lead to aveda zara, so maybe the iser was only on paschel oivdei kechadim, like the lashon is, goyim that attack idol worshippers, let's say like Christians, that for us that's considered aveda zara. Masha enkein, let's say like Yishmaelim, that they're not even the aveda zara. So it could be maybe their pass is mutter. We weren't so machmer on their pass. We shouldn't say him because it could lead to. But that's not the conclusion. The halacha, the poskim write, the Prima Gadim quotes from the Pritayar, that the halacha is not that way. The halacha is that the pass Yishmaelim is also aser, because once the formulation of the gzeira was mishum chasnus, so all goyim does an iser chasnus. Could be taka, like we said, that the siba was, they were very machmir mishum chasnus, because chasnus leads to avodah zarah. But once they made the takana, right, the formulation was mishum chasnus, so that applies to all goyim. That's the reason of the gzeira. The place can point out that even when chasnus is not mamish applicable in that particular case, for example, that the goy doesn't have daughters, so it's not a chashash that you're going to marry his daughter, but they say if you're more like a priest, that he's not allowed to have children. So there's no chashash that they're going to marry his children. Or the same thing other places can discuss mitzad, the setting. If the setting is not in an oifen that it could lead to chasnas, you might think that there's no chasnas in such a case. Afal b'kein, we say that it's going to be aser. It's like the shach says, im ein lozeh yesh lozeh. It's not that you're going to marry this person's, specifically this person's daughter. It's a general klalisdik gzeira that could lead to closeness, social closeness, which could ultimately lead to intermarriage. So it has to be a certain boundary that's set up. And Chazal felt that a good boundary is not to bake bread together. In other words, not to have their bread. And that's in the Ramah. We just gave examples. The Ramah says that people are walking the lake and mishum chasnas aser. This applies even in a place where there's no chasnas, like the examples that we gave, like a priest who's not allowed to have children, etc. What's the mucker of the gzeira? In other words, when was it instituted? So the Gemara mentions two possibilities of when it was instituted. One is that it was instituted in the times of Daniel, because there's a pasuk in Daniel that Daniel, when he was brought to the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, he said, the words of the pasuk itself, Daniel said, "V'yasim elibay," that "Asher lo yisgol b'paspag hamelach," that he said to himself that he's not going to make himself become. What that word means, I think it means like impure or whatever, something to that effect, from the pass of the king, from the pass Akum. So by the way, that was another case that the poskim say, when I mentioned before, setting, that the setting doesn't lead to chasnus, or the scenario, that's also brought up, like what's if when you would eat in a palace, so you're not going to marry the king's daughter. So maybe eating in a palace is it. So that's what they say. That's all included in what the Ramah is saying. That filu b'makom the lake of mishum chasnas. Okay. So he said
he's not going to. So that seems to. So one suggestion in the Gemara is that was the source. That's when he instituted the Neil was the one who instituted it. And in the Hemshecha Gemara, it sounds like they disprove that it wasn't really a takana that the Neil made at the time. Perhaps it was just, you know, the Neil making his own achlata of Yasim Aliba. He thought he wanted to do such a thing, or it was a personal thing that he did, but it wasn't mamish. That's not when the Chachamim Chazal instituted, Pasakon, because it's clear that it was done from the, it said that this is counted as the last of the Yud Ches Dvarim, 18 items that Beis Shammai Misilah were Goyzer. Lists out a few things. This is the last one, Pasakum, Shemanakum, these. So that seems to be that it was, that the Gzer was in the times of Shammai and Hillel. So the truth is that we're trying to discuss, what Lamaisa was it? Was it instituted in the times of Daniel, and what happened later in the times of Shammai, or like we said before, that maybe Daniel was never the Khan at all, it was just something Vayasim Aliba, he thought about it, he was thinking that it would be a good thing to do, or he made his own achlata, or whatever it is. So, okay, so we have the Yisr of Pasach. Chaber continues. Vayasr ela bepashal chameshus minei dog and avopashal kitnis v'shal oiras v'doichen ene bechlal pas stam sheyasru. What is considered to be the category of pas akum? So the Mechaber clarifies that this it's only if it's pas that's made from the chameshus minei dogon, from the five grains. If it's not made from the five grains, if it's made out of kitnis or oiras v'doichen, rice bread, cornbread, anything, something similar to that, so then it's not considered pas. Pas is that something that's a bread, it's made out of the five grains. So for certainly a bread that you have to wash and make a moitzi. We're going to learn later that it even includes pas of a bekisnin, which is like things that we ordinarily make mezoinus on, like cakes and stuff like that. But that's because, so we'll discuss that more by Riches later when we come up to it. But if it's made out of these other types of flour, like corn flour, rice flour, stuff like that, potato starch, all these things, that's not considered in the category of Pasakum. It would, however, potentially be considered in the category of Bishalakum. Because what's the difference between Pas and Bishal? Pas is a bread, something which is made from the Chameshes Minei Dagon. If it's a non-bread, then it could potentially be in the category of bishul. In other words, it was made by a goyis, and therefore it's considered bishul akum. Now, what's the difference if something's considered pas or bishul? So there are, as we're going to learn soon in this siman, about certain kulis that exist when it comes to pas akum, and in the next siman, Kuf Yud Gimel, it talks about bishul akum. We're going to learn certain kulis that exist in bishul akum. The main thing to note for now is that pas akum has a certain kula that if it's pas palter, if it's bread from a bakery, so mi'ikar hadin, one can be makel on such type of bread. Okay, so that heter of pas palter does not exist when it comes to cooked foods. If it's a non-breads that were cooked in a factory, in a restaurant, okay, there is no kula of palter when it comes to the iser shlokas, the iser bishul. Conversely, when it comes to the iser bishul, you have a kula of eino ila shulcha malachim, but the iser only applies to something which is both nechol kameishu, eino nechol kameishu chai. It has to be something which is not edible in a Torah state, and something which is Oila shel chamalachim. It has to be chashuv that it's oila shel chamalachim, that it could be served at a formal dinner or banquet, a chasana, something like that. It can't just be something that you eat, a chap shlap fast food type of a dish.
So saying that something is pass or bishul, okay, it just means that it's going to have a different set of rules. So if it's chameshus mine dagon, so then it's pass. So then it does not have the heter of, like the Prima Gadim clarifies. If it's chameshus mine dagon, so then it has the heter of palter, okay? But it does not have the heter of ina al shulchan malachim, which means even if this pass is a shvach loaf, which they would not serve at a chasana, it's still, if it's pas akam, it would be aser. Otherwise, by pas akam, we don't care that it's not oil shulchan malachim. The fact that it's bread from chameshus mine dagon, like the Taz explains, that has its own chashivas. It has its own chashivas, that it's ikar hasuda. Doesn't matter that it's not fancy and you wouldn't be able to serve it at a fancy formal meal. Okay, that's its concern. It's ikar hasuda, and therefore it could lead to chasnus in its own right. Okay, because it's ikar hasuda. He doesn't talk about ikar hasuda. Others say that word. He just says that it's the fact that it's chameshus mine dagon, it's a brachase hamoitzi, it's a dabar chashav, and maybe like kirav das, it brings to kirva. Masha enkin, a tavshil is not going to bring to kirva unless it's oil shulchan malachim. On the other hand, if something is a tavshil, so then it doesn't have the kula palter, but it does have the kula vein oil shulchan malachim. So it's just a different set of rules. So this pas doichan or pas kitnius, this cornbread, does not have the category of pas. So it doesn't have the heter of pas palter, but it's in the category of bishul, which means it depends if it's oil shulchan malachim. So that's why the Ramah right away clarifies, although it's not in the category of pas, so it's not asim shem pas akum. But the gam ain't asim shem bishul akum im ain oil shulchan malachim. If it's not oil shulchan malachim, then it wouldn't be. So from the lashon Ramah is mashma that you have to see if this loaf of cornbread is oil shulchan malachim. So then it would taka be asim shem bishul akum. The Shach and the Taz, they quote that from the Torah is mashma not that way. Because the Torah writes, v'gam einei chashuv, and therefore it's not a problem of bishul. In other words, you have a right to assume, you don't have to worry maybe and find out if it's oil shulchan malachim. You have a right to assume that it's not oil shulchan malachim, and therefore it's going to be mutter. It's not considered pas akum, because it's not pas. And it's a tafshil, but it's mutter mishum bishul akum, because it's not oil shulchan malachim. Then there's a third shita in the Achrayim, the Minchas Yaakov, that's kind of like a achra in between. Others also says something similar, that you have to basically see on the situation. There are going to be certain situations where the pas kitnius is going to be oil shulchan malachim, the mashal in a place where the chameshus mini dagon are not available, so then most likely the pas from the pas kitnius will be oil shulchan malachim in such a scenario. And Menachas Yaakov says, although under normal circumstances, let's say pas kitnius is not oil shulchan malachim, but if you dress it up, add a lot of spices, add other things to it, so then it could be such a roll, becomes a shtickle fancy, and it could be oil shulchan malachim. So that's, you know, you have to see on the situation. That seems to be the achra of the later pasuk. Something is a very important din, and I missed out before when we were speaking about, whose bread is pas akum. In other words, if it applies dafke to Ovdei Avodah Zarah or even to non Ovdei Avodah Zarah, okay, that's all goyim. So we said that the maskana was that it applies to all goyim. The Pesachei Tshuva raises the question of a mumer, means a yid who is a Baal Aveira. So the person does one specific Aveira, so then it doesn't take him, you know, to that area where he's weak, so that's a problem. But when somebody's mumer l'chal Shabbos befarhesia, so then it says that he's like a goy for everything. It's a knas that he was for being mechal Shabbos befarhesia in front of 10 people. So then he's considered like a goy. So does this mean that his pass is pass akum? But a fraya yid who doesn't keep Shabbos befarhesia, if he bakes bread, is that considered pass akum? Or could he be the one who turned on the oven? Does that help? So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Sefer Tiferes L'Moshe paskins that it's not considered pasakum. Because the whole issue of pasakum is mishum chasnus. And there's no iser chasnus to marry the daughter of a mumer. You know, he's considered like a goy l'chol davar. There's a certain knas put on him to try to you know, he should realize the seriousness and come to do tshuva. So everyone's going to treat him like a goy, but there's no iser of chasnus. He's not his daughter's Jewish. Shafa pishuchati Yisrael who. So Mela, it's considered pas Yisrael. The darkei tshuva brings from other poskim that are machmir that say not like this. They say that this is included in the knas that the chachamim treat him like a goy, that his wine should be yayin esach and his bread should be pasakum. That's part of the chasnus taka not included. Some want to say actually that it could be that there is a shtickle chasnus, that there is a problem of chasnus, that that's part of it. To treat him like a goy, you're not to marry his daughter. I don't know if we accept it like that, but there's an argument to say. I don't know. It would seem to be that the chatchila, let's say, if you're a kashrus company, you're giving a hechsher to a certain establishment or whatever it is, it would seem to be more correct to arrange that it should be a frum yid. The guy doesn't have to be, you know, volunitzitzis, but I'm saying that it shouldn't be a machal shabbos for hesia, the one who turns on the oven, because there are opinions that hold that's not acceptable. But I think in a situation that something was already done, I don't think there's a reason to be machmir b'di'evet. Again, like it's an issur d'rabbanan, it's an issur d'rabbanan kal, and this is the opinion quoted from Tiferes L'Moshe over here. He actually is mechalek. We're going to see later in Simikuf Yud Gimel, when it comes to bishul akum, he's not willing to be mekel. He holds bishul akum of a mumer is a problem, because by bishul there's an additional problem besides for chasnus. Chasnus is the main reason, just like by pas. Besides for chasnus, there's an additional reason that's brought down of shema yachilenu davar tamei. There's a concern that it could be that if you're accustomed to eating from the goy's food, it could be, maybe not this time, but maybe next time, you won't be so careful in seeing what he's putting in all the ingredients, and you may by mistake end up eating not kosher. Okay, that's not a concern by pas so much. By pas, because in breads, it's not common to have treif ingredients, so that's not a concern. In a tafshel, this tafshel might not have treif ingredients, but the next tafshel might. So this tafshel might have to be good, but shemi achilenu next time, davar tameh. Bashenke my pas, it's not. We're going to learn later that when in a case of pas, there is a possibility of adding in non-kosher ingredients, so then you have to be careful about it. And you have to have a mashgiach to make sure that there is non-kosher, that there is no non-kosher ingredients. Saying besides for the issue of pas akum, you have to make sure that there is no non-kosher ingredients there. But in Sif Aleph over here, we're discussing normal, regular bread. There's no concern. It's flour and water, maybe eggs, as we're going to see later. There's no concern of any non-kosher ingredients mixed in. The Shach points out that l'choyer, there may be no concern of non-kosher ingredients being mixed into the bread, but what about the goyish kalim that is baked in a treif of pan? He doesn't kasher his pan before he does it. The Shach says that's not a concern. Why? Because the klal is, even when something is baked in a not kosher keli, it's only going to answer the food if the tam iser is a nice and tam l'shvach. If the treif of food gives a good flavor into the kosher food. If it's nice and tam l'vgam, if it gives a bad flavor, so then the halacha is that it does not treif up the food. Now, the rule is that if you have a kli, ein ben yomei, if the kli was not used in the last 24 hours, so then the taste that's sitting in the pot becomes pogum from the kli. Doesn't mean that the food itself becomes pogum after 24 hours of sitting in the fridge. It means the bliya, the flavor, the absorbed flavor that's sitting inside the walls of the pot, the walls of the pot are pogum it and make it not fresh, make it stale. The mela, it's not going to go and ask for the food. That's all if it wasn't used in the last 24 hours, so the taste is stale. Here you don't know if it was used or not. So the klal is, we're going to learn in Simukov Chav Beis, that stam kelim ein b'nei yayimim. We have a right to assume if you don't know, so we assume that, or we treat it as if it wasn't used in the last 24 hours. Mela, even if there is non-kosher flavor in there, it's not going to trafe up the food. Now that doesn't mean that we can go ahead and cook in a trafe of keli, even if we know for a fact that it wasn't used in the last 24 hours. Because that, the Gemara says clearly, that it's gzeira eina ben yeme ato ben yeme. You're not allowed to use it after 24 hours pass. Gzeira ato, you may use it within the 24 hours, when it's still fresh. But that's only the chatchila, you're not allowed to use the keli. B'diyeve, the food that was cooked in this keli, is permissible. Here, the case is that you're buying it from the goy. The goy was the one who cooked it. You're buying it. So even though we're discussing the case that you're going to purchase this bread, that's still called b'diyeve. It's a ready bake. That's b'diyeved. Even though you're l'chatchila going to purchase, you're allowed to l'chatchila go and purchase it since it was already baked. This is called b'diyeved. That's the reason why the only concern here is the chasness issue, but there's no concern for the non-kosher ingredients. In the bread itself, because it wasn't the derech to put non-kosher ingredients, in normal, regular bread, we'll soon see later, certain types of breads, that there is a concern, so then Yitaka have to ensure that there's no non-kosher ingredients. But mitzad the kalim, the Shach points out, you don't have to worry because tam kalim ain't a b'nei yoyman. I'm going to pause it, and then we'll the second sif. In other words, we'll start again for the second sif. Yeah? This way we can break it up more. I don't know if we'll go mamish every sif by sif, but...